Bring me my diapers. As we go through our 11th episode.
11.
As our,
it's 11 already?
It's 11, 11 already, wow. Yes. As we go through our 11th episode, and as we gather more information, and as we develop our platform, and as we share our experiences with you, as we go through these shifts in time and reality, we go through this, one thing that I would like you guys to keep in mind, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Push the little subscribe button. Push it.
It's down below. It's right there.
Get more information.
It's right there.
Push it. Subscribe. Okay? Now, having said that, something else that we also have available for you guys who are wanting to increase your engagement, we have links available for you down below in the descriptions. The links actually allow for interaction, allow for us to create a scenario where if you're interested in voicing your message, click there, there's a registration link, and register your email so that we can put you in our guest list. That will be very intriguing if you want, if you're interested in something like this, follow the descriptions, okay? Something else that we have available for entrepreneurs is a membership. If you're interested in developing your business, growing your business, starting your business, looking for some options as the market shifts, descriptions are down below. Click away. Let us know if you have any questions. Having all that, Mr. Jacinto joining us today.
Boop, boop, boop. Hey, what's up, y'all? We're good to go.
I'm back.
Lappin.
Back.
Lappin.
The chief. Mr. KB Coffee Bernie joining us today. Thank you very much.
Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you. I didn't go anywhere, but yeah, I guess
You're back in the square. Yeah. We have additions. We got all this advancement there that we have available now.
Yeah, I've got a lot more technical.
I mean, look at this stuff. Right? We got gear all over the place.
I mean, we spared no expense. That sign that we made. Look at the sign. I mean, that's top notch right there.
I feel nothing like I'm in a TV much. Studio right
now. Nothing is too much. We got the image board. Look at that image board. Oh, my goodness.
You spared no expense, right?
I really love that.
It's beautiful.
I love it. How everything moves forward. Something that you guys want to share, maybe? Something I spoke a little bit?
Yeah, first thing I want to say, I mean, obviously, folks who don't know, I am a stand-up comedian. I'm also a personal trainer, if anyone is into personal training. But stand-up comedian-wise, I just want to give a shout-out, special shout-out to Pancho Claus. Do y'all know
Pancho Claus? Yes, Pancho Claus, man. We have
Pancho Claus. So if you don't know, folks who don't know, Pancho Claus is a Houston legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what he's been doing since I was a child is he
wow,
goes...
Wow, really?
Yeah, he did it to me. I remember. He didn't do it to me. That sounds bad. So he's a great guy. But he's 70 now. But he's right. been, since he was, I think, in his 20s, he's been going to low-income neighborhoods, giving out gifts at Christmas time.
Oh, wow.
So he gets in a big red lowrider, and he wears a red zoot suit. So he's like Pancho Claus. And he goes to these low-income neighborhoods. He goes to throughout the community and just gives out gifts all over.
Awesome.
He's been doing it forever, and he's associated with LULAC, the League of LULAC. So he is also a huge comedy fan.
Mm.
And he's been, I mean, he was at the very beginning of the original Laughstock. That's where I started.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really?
Absolutely. And he would come to every show, and he's now putting on his own shows. So check out Pancho Claus Comedy on Instagram.
Definitely.
And he has a show tomorrow night at the Latino Learning Center.
Yeah, the one over Wayside or Navigation.
It's on Polk. Are you familiar with the Latino Learning Center?
Yes,
Learning Center is a really great place. It's been there for a long time, longer than I used to go there as a little kid. I remember my family used to go there. And it's a place where Latinos who come to this country who are legal and are trying to get started with the language, with business, with getting an apartment or whatever they need to get going, the Latino Learning Center, it teaches them and it helps them get going. So it's a really great place. So he's hosting comedy shows there. The best comedians in Houston are going there. And there's music, it's poetry, there's food. It's a great, great place. So shout out to Pancho Claus. I love you, Richard. That's going on Fridays throughout for the next few weeks. So look for Pancho Claus Comedy on Instagram.
What's his start time typically on those shows?
Usually it's about 7 or 8.
Okay, cool. Friday
night. Nice. Yeah, Friday nights. Tomorrow night. I'm going to be there tomorrow night. I'm going to be debuting some guitar jokes.
Oh,
weird. Shout out to Bo Burnham. He's the one who inspired me for this.
Good stuff, man. Thanks for that information. Very valuable. Yes, sir.
I think we did a whole episode on me before. So other than that, though, one thing I did do, I had a chance to, I think this week was International Women's Week.
Oh, that's right.
I actually had the opportunity to go to elementary school and talk to kids about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Yes. Awesome.
That was really cool. I really enjoyed that. And actually, at one point, had a table full of young girls that were just, you know, I was trying to remind them about, hey, engineering, science, being a scientist, you know, definitely if you have an interest there, you should pursue that as one of your goals. So, yeah, that was really, really rewarding. You know, kind of makes your heart feel good. So,
yeah. Do you feel like they were receptive? Do you feel like they were, like, really taking it in?
So these were really young kids, right?
Oh, young?
So, yeah, like 8.
Oh, wow.
They were really, really young. So I think you just kind of planting seeds at that age.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I want to do at 8, right? You're probably just thinking about when the cartoons are coming on.
Sure.
And you're gonna, watch read a comic book or something. But at that point, I was just saying, hey, just, you know, if you like science and math, this is something you should think about, right? You know? Maybe in 15 years, somebody will knock on my door and say, hey, thanks to you, I decided to go engineering. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. At that age,
that's
kind of
fancy.
They just stalk me.
Table of young girls is following me everywhere.
You know, what app will have then? I mean, maybe
the
blockchain or something.
Yeah, you got me that quick. I've been trying to stay out of the way for years.
So yeah, it'd be fun. But yeah, that was my thing for this week.
But you got to start them young, right? You hear about the most famous people who have made successful leaps. Like I started when I was young, like Tiger Woods. You know, people like,
oh yeah,
they start super young. So that's why it's important, folks, parents out there, get your kids into lots of things because you never know what they're gonna kind of grab onto. But it's so important to start them young.
Yeah,
don't you agree?
So much.
What I would say is that they definitely tend to grab more interest, and their learning is much more deeper when they were younger, as it was to us whenever you're an adult, right?
Sure.
So when you're in the young age, you get to absorb a lot more. So as you guys mentioned, if you introduce them early and then they go into a particular path, then there's more information that they can gather, absorb, learn more deeper, farther than people typically would as they're older.
And this next generation,
so yes, the answer is yes.
This next generation has a big leap on everyone because of technology. We didn't have this stuff when we were younger, right?
Yeah.
Remember in high school, I remember we had dial-up.
Generations from the last, I would say 100 years or so, have a leap in the prior generations world. You know what I mean? This is the matter. So the tools that they have available, I mean, it's difficult to say what's the difference in advancement between what, you know, we had from our parents and what our parents have from their parents, and our kids have.
So quick story about kids learning faster than we are. I was trying to learn Japanese, right? So
okay.
I went to a place. Yeah, tried to, you know, I was taking diligent notes. I'm sitting here trying
Japanese,
to learn.
You were taking diligent Japanese notes?
I was taking English notes. So literally, it's this 10-11-year-old sitting right next to me, and he's like just not even trying, right?
Yeah,
so he's
yeah.
just going around like asking us to speak in Japanese, and I'm struggling, like looking at my notes, like the kid was like 10 years old, just like off the top of his head.
Yeah.
Wow. Like he wasn't even trying.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, I hate you. I'm thinking in my head.
Were you thinking in Japanese?
No.
That's the problem.
So kids, at that age, they can pick up languages and, you know, all kind of stuff. But I'm sitting there just trying the basics, and this kid's not even.
It's hard to get stuff out because there's so much stuff in thinking, and then so you don't absorb as much. Kids are like, I don't care about nothing. It's fine. It's just naturally just flowing inside.
He was a rock star.
It's true. Yeah. Shout out to kids.
Right.
Okay. So what we have is comedian Punch Claus. I actually did meet Punch Claus.
Really?
Yes. This past Christmas. He did a call out. I guess there was a shortage of gifts and things of this nature. So he was on the news. The mayor actually promoted a cause that he was doing. We contacted him. One of our members contacted him, and then we had an event over at Academy down the street.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll have pictures of that event actually down in the description if you want to see.
Okay, great.
A bunch of recent pictures of Punch. He's an awesome, awesome person.
Oh, absolutely.
I picked up the phone. He said 3 words, and I was like, oh man, I gotta step it up. This guy is awesome.
The guy is legit, and he raises money for so many different causes.
Yes.
I mean, he's just a godsend to Houston. Shout out to Richard.
And he's been keeping that up for over 30 years.
Right.
Over 30 years, and it's like a product. destruction, and he produces happiness and things of that nature that are valueless. I mean, not valueless, but impossible to tell value. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely.
Right, punch clause.
Speaking of value.
Our general overall topic. Forever, actually, it's going to be for a while, because this topic, I don't think, is going to be shifting, and it's been with us. This topic has been with us probably, I would say, since the beginning of time. Not the beginning of time, but the way that we understand time, okay? And the topic that we kind of are going through today, as we flow, is money.
Money!
That's what we're gonna be talking about today.
So you're saying like the cavemen used to trade rocks?
They traded stuff. They traded women here and there, I would assume.
So we're just gonna make it rain this whole episode.
Yes. Yeah. One step at a time. We don't want to run out of pass. You don't want to run out of. See, okay, exactly. We're doing it wrong. We already started wrong.
See, that's how it is.
We're not starting it wrong.
I don't know how to make it rain.
That's inflation. Episode over.
So there's a way to make it rain.
There's an art to it. There is a strategy. For everything.
Are we talking a strip club make it rain?
Either way. Make it rain wherever you like.
This technique works everywhere.
The beautiful thing about this is that it's all subjective. That you just have to kind of believe it and keep pressing on that belief. And it kind of comes as you come. What we're going to be discussing is how we all interpret that reality, which is money, and how different values of money, different situations of money make us act, behave in ways that are typically not our norm. It makes us shift completely with regards to who we are, who we're willing to do, what we're willing to do, because of, like, this little piece of paper is deep in our stuff, right? Let's talk about money. When will we start? The beginning of money? The beginning of how people traded things? Why did people trade? Why did people trade in the beginning? For what? Why would I trade something? Why would I trade something that I had?
How far are you going back?
Back in the beginning. Right? I need something. Anything what you got. I'm going to give it to me.
We all originated in Africa. And then the land bridges came, right?
The different
tribes went in different directions, right?
Exactly. And
then they get to a certain place, and then they settle down. This is how we started to grow, right? Once they started to settle down, I feel like that's where things started to get traded and bartered.
Because
this area has this type of fruit. This area has this spice, right? And so things start moving.
That is a similar perception that I have with regards to one of the reasons why, because of that.
Right.
That's a bunch of reasons, really.
Sure.
And then as people were moving and shifting, I think people were also trading. And then even now, as we were kids, keep in mind we were mostly kids as we were going. Even mom was like, So I guess instead of fighting, people started maybe trading. And so there we go. So just little trading things for that. And then
where did we start making a currency, though?
Right.
That's what I'm interested in. I feel like I've read something about the Aztec and the Mayan gold that the Europeans took. They took it to Europe and made gold coins from it. And then that's how the certain wars were started to trade and work and move.
So that I would say is more on the lines of the 1500s, 1600s, whenever the Americas were getting conquered. Currency in itself has been around for a long time. Almost anything is currency.
Sure.
Anything is. Now, technically speaking, we're going to be talking about the future of currency, but it has been shifting through time. And so one of the things that the way that I understand it is commodities, like little things that they could trade, which is like grain, rice, small things. People would trade goats and chickens. At some point in time, it's like, hey, how about a horse for my chicken? It's like, hey, no. There's no way to equate that, right? As you said.
Well, a chicken for a horse, that's not even. That's a big chicken.
What is the purpose?
Chicken
is all, man. Larry's
allergic
to horse chicken, but I like your eggs. I'll take it.
Sounds like what? I'll take that.
Sounds like a new world problem. Yeah, they'll eat the horse and the chicken. Nonetheless, we are now moving into the dilemma of trading. This is too much for me. Okay, so a little bit at a time, as we do now, people started creating the situation of, let's trade a stone, let's trade this, let's put a little value behind this. And then they started doing coins. And coins essentially is the beginning of things not, like it's not food, it's not animals, it's not people, it's the coins.
Right.
And then with a little bit of coins, if you had a coin and you were able to estimate that value, you were You were watching the Premium Advantage back then.
So, boom. No. Subscribe.
So, you're making coins because you wanted the Premium Advantage because you were so much ahead of everybody trading chickens and stuff. And then you had little coins that's worth 10 chickens.
Man, now I want to eat some chicken. I'm hungry. Right.
I want some
more.
On top of that, so originally when currency started, like you said, it was a barter system. Chickens and horses. But imagine having to carry around a chicken all the time.
Right.
If you wanted to go buy something else, you had to lead your horse around, have this big bale of hay or somewhere. So that really drove kind of where we got to with like paper currency. Because this is a lot lighter than having to carry around a chicken or something like that. And even gold in small pieces.
Sure.
So currency really evolved because of just the human needs. Like, I don't want to carry a chicken or a horse around for like hours at a time in case I want to exchange something or barter.
Yeah.
And so that really was what drove it. And then the other really quick aside is every society figures out how to create currency. There's a really good study that they were looking at prisoners when they were in prison. And how they came up with the currency. And it's almost instantaneously.
Really?
Because they needed to figure out a way to barter.
Right.
And so they ended up using like cigarettes or something.
That was
their currency. But it wasn't because, that they were told to do it like a government. No, it wasn't a government coming in saying you have to come up with a currency.
Yeah.
They just figured out, hey, if we want to barter, if we want to trade, if I want to change, trade you a cover for something. But you have to use something independent of that. And they figured it out. It just came up like
a necessity.
Yeah, exactly, a necessity. So it just shows you how all societies at some point decide that they need a currency.
Yes, I agree.
I know it was the tipping point to decide, okay, so now we have the currency, where do we start to create this value, right? And then that's where governments and entities started to say, well, we have all of this, right? And this is why our value is higher than others. I just wonder how that happened, where that transition happened. Do you guys know about that?
I believe it has something to do with regards to who's going to respond with regards to this worth. Right? Mm. Who am I going to knock on the door with regards to like, hey, this is worth something or this is worth nothing? And then, at least on the dollar bills and in bills, because they were using precious metals.
Right.
Gold, silver, things of this nature.
Make sure you lock up your catalytic converters, by the way, folks.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Precious metals. Catalytic converters are real. Yeah.
And so that's one of the situations with regards to precious metals. You could always remelt them, and then there goes your stamp. That was the stamp that it had. Okay, we remounted it, and now it was essentially, so forged money has been going on for eternity. Since there's money, people have been like, oh, I can just remount it. Even now, people I can just reprint it. Okay, it's just the nature, apparently it's the nature of humanity, I guess, to some degree. Nonetheless, this gives you a little code. That code is trackable. It says where that started, who's got it, and that's the reason why the paper is the way that it is, and why it's got all those digits, you can track it. But now, things are shifting. And things have been shifting.
Right.
What do you guys think about how the shift? Because it's the same shift, it's just not with the technology.
Yeah, I think it's, so, you originally asked me to bring in cash, right?
Yes, right, correct.
I thought
correct.
You were charging me for something. But you were like, hey, you're right. but what I think I told you was I don't carry cash around.
Oh, that's
great. I literally do not carry currency. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, part of that is just, whenever I break a 20, it seems like it's gone the next day.
Yeah,
like, as soon as you break a 20, it's like the rest of it's gone. But it's really more about convenience, right? Mm-hmm. I have digital money.
Yes.
In a bank somewhere, I use debit cards and credit cards. And so to me, currency is a little bit inefficient.
Gotcha.
Because as soon as I get it, I'm getting pennies and nickels and quarters.
Gotcha. You know what you could try? Maybe try chickens.
Chickens of horses.
Keep your company.
I'm totally okay with carrying a chicken around.
Because it's organic. It's a different value now. All chickens are not the same.
Well, how do they name Steve? So you want to give me a quarter of a chicken when I go to the
You can have whatever kind of chicken you like. I'm just saying, it's shifted. Chickens have different value.
No,
back in the day.
But you're absolutely right. As when you talk to young folks, no one carries cash anymore. Everything is plastic.
So cash is king, is dead.
I don't know. In other countries.
Ah, it's cash, no longer king.
In other countries, it still is.
All other countries?
It's God still. In certain countries.
Sure.
But first world countries, not as much anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say we're looking at it as depreciating assets is what we're looking at.
I think the challenge, though, so in America, almost everybody has a bank account. We all have bank accounts. A lot of places in third world countries, like y'all mentioned, are what we call bankless. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have bank accounts. So they keep their money like in, you know, proverbial under the mattress or in somewhere in their house.
Yep.
So that's where they keep their funds. So if that's the case, you really do have to have cash. Right? Yeah. You got to have like hard currency to go buy stuff and do stuff with. Mm-hmm. But if you got a bank account, I mean, why would you leave it in your house, right? I mean, outside of the Great Depression where folks, I guess, were leaving their money, like they didn't trust the banks.
Yeah.
But now we got a bank. It's got insurance. If somebody was to rob the bank, I don't have to worry about my money, right?
FDIC?
FDIC, exactly. So I leave all my money in the bank, and I very rarely take it out. My dad used to carry cash all the time. Yeah. He carried like
it does have value. You know, you will never know when this little piece of cash is going to give you that extra value of like, oh, no, all I got is Venmo. I can't connect. You got the Venmo? I got the Venmo. You got the deal? But I ain't got the deal. You know what? You take the 20, yes or no?
I can't tell you last time I used cash. You used to have used cash recently, or?
Yes, but it was to buy drugs, so that's. I'm kidding.
That you're probably right there. That's probably one of the few areas. That's strip clubs, right? You probably have that.
Making it rain, by the way.
Nah,
if you're the one getting rained on.
These days, there's like, check it here. Here's my QR code.
I would think your significant other would see the charge or something. Be like,
I'm just saying, things are moving.
They usually just, you know, disguise it.
Oh.
I've heard. No idea.
Nonetheless, okay. So money now. So because for example, it does also mess with our number system, right? Like for example, you see a 100 here and a 20, right? And they say, which one is worth more? Just intuitively, which one would you say is worth more?
Well, one looks like Monopoly money.
Okay, bam. But it's a 20. Right. This one is 100. How's 20 more than 100?
It's just bam. It's just because of what we know, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like remember that movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah. Okay.
When the kid gets a $100 bill, and he's just like, I don't know what this is. This is useless. And then he shows it to the other kid who's blind, and he can feel that it's Ben Franklin.
Uh-huh.
And he tells him what it is, and he's like, oh goodness. But he can't even break it because he's so poor, and they don't believe that that's his $100 bill.
Yes.
It's just the value is what we all know it to be.
Perceived value.
Perceived. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's the value that humanity or people, whatever, is a value on this paper, the little stamp.
Right.
It can be even exactly the same, and it's just different. It's like, no, this one's worth more.
Yeah.
This is worth more.
Yeah.
I'll shoot you with this one. Not this one. But it's the same kind of.
It is.
Yeah. So what's up with these emotions that people get? I mean, with regards to money in themselves, like people get hung up on the value. And is it because we have a certain thought of what money brings? So what it is? So what does money do? What does money do that bring this situation where we're like, oh, I want more?
People want things.
Oh, okay.
People want things, especially in this new social media. I want to be like who I see on Instagram. I want to have that Kardashian shirt. I want to, you know, it's that next generation. They really feel like they need to get involved financially some kind of way.
The people that want things.
And then because of like things like crypto and the stock market, how everybody can access it now. Back in the day, to get into the stock market, you had to call the broker, and they had to check your references. They had to do all kinds of lots of things. But now anybody with a smartphone can invest in stocks and crypto and all of these. So that's the shift. So but these younger people are aware.
So it's wanting things. I want things. But hold on.
You want things.
Hold on. But you can get things necessarily without the money situation. There's ways to get things. What
you mean, like services?
Depends. I'm not saying you're saying we're looking for things. And it's what things? What things that people wanted so much that it's creating this bad situation between people and friends and society and all that stuff? Because technically speaking, my perception is we could have solved a big chunk of problems if we weren't arguing over money.
Right.
Not that I'm saying the money is not good or whatever. I'm just saying there's a resource, it's a tool. We kind of seem to be arguing and fighting over it as opposed to we using it to our benefit overall. Right. I mean, yeah, there's the nature of a competition, but then there's like drowning competition. So, like, if it's endless, if it's everything, why are we using it in such a limited amount? I'm curious.
Yes.
How do we?
That's a deep question.
That's right, Don. That's what you're bringing about it. That's a prime.
That's a prime.
That's a deep question.
It has to go with the thought of how you move around. So wait, what am I getting for what's the value in this money?
I think we're taught from a young age.
Yes.
To have
I think that's
things,
it.
Right? And, yeah. You know, part of the American dream is to have like a nice car, a
the
nice
white
house.
Events,
yeah,
right.
It's like to be rich. That's like everybody. A lot of immigrants when they come to this country, that's the dream, right? They hear streets paved in gold.
Which one? Where? What? Which one?
I missed that street, right? But they hear of a country that like has wealth, right? So I think even people who are born here are still feeling like, hey, this. The dream is to make it. When you make it,
yeah.
You have the money, like you said, the white picket fence, the family, the car. Folks are looking up to you. Money,
yeah.
There's a rapper saying, money is power, right? Mm-hmm.
Power is power.
Yeah,
not just things, then. We're talking about power.
It's power, yeah.
Things are power.
Because you can buy things.
And power.
You get access, right? I was still
it's power. Because not only this. You're looking for, yeah. It's what this gets you.
It represents, right?
What it gets you, what it represents, so that it can get you. Because this, yeah. But what can it get me? Is
anything?
Things and power.
Power can get you anything, right?
Okay. Well, I don't want to say anything, but it depends on how many of these you got.
Right.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
You want, not necessarily anything, but whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right. Then that's what I mean. Even Scarface said that. First, you get the money, then you get the power, then you get
respect.
Yeah, it's
how it is.
Okay. In that order, I guess.
Usually, I mean, that's the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, right? Why did she do that in the office with him?
Oh.
Because he was a powerful man, right? He's not that hot. He's not that rich. It's just power, right? So. Power is even powerful than the money.
And so there you go. So that there's no, like, I would say there's people with more money that have less power.
Mm.
And then there's also the shift between how much power does this one give me here versus how much power does it give me over there? Like, remember, people were migrating. How much do these red grapes give me here versus these blue grapes give me here? They kind of look the same.
Red grape. Sounds good, though.
Whatever.
Yeah, I feel you.
Some fruits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you guys travel? You guys travel out of the country?
Great point, because whenever I travel to like third world countries, they think I'm super rich. Oh, you're American. You have, you know, they think you're super, super rich because you're coming on vacation. Like, vacation. What is vacation? I work all day. What do you mean vacation?
I'm trying to get out.
Time off from work. What? Right? It's mind blowing. Or I have a lot of clients who they're like Filipino and they go to visit their family in these poor areas, and then they expect them to bring things, clothes and money, and they leave with nothing, and they do it on purpose because they know that their family members one need it, but also it's something that they can barter. If I have a New York Yankees shirt and I take it to Colombia for the favelas in Brazil, that's going to be worth a lot of money or a lot of power or a
which
lot of services.
Which one is that? What kind of shirt is it?
The Yankees.
Okay. Yankees shirt. Double the
Astros.
Astros. Yeah, come on. We're going to sell some of those Astros shirts in the favelas. That's what I'm hearing.
Side note. Did you know that baseball officially is back on?
Oh, nice!
Yeah. Just found out today, about an hour ago, that baseball's back. Yeah. And they had to argue about the size of the base for a while.
Size of the base? How much space I had to touch?
The base itself. They wanted it a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was ruining the game since the 1800s.
Are you a baseball fan?
Huge.
You are,
I'm a person that likes when people cheer and are happy and when it's super intense.
No matter what the situation. That's where I'm cheering.
Who's cheering? Who's happy? We're winning?
I'm a huge Astros fan. I went to like 25, 30 games last year.
I just can't get into it. I'm not. I played baseball when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
I played a little bit in high school, but it just. I love playing sports, but some sports are just, oh my goodness, baseball just kind of boring.
Yeah, no, it's like watching golf on TV. It's like,
I appreciate it. Whenever I go to the stadium, I appreciate it a humongous amount more than on TV, because you see how small the ball is,
right.
And this ball is flipping and flapping all over the place, and I'm like,
flip it, flap it.
There's no way I could do that, right? If I see people, I'm like, I can't do that. I'm already like in admiration. But so, right? But I'm about to go catch a game if you guys are interested whenever.
Go right now?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I guess the season's about to start.
April 14th is the official start right now.
Fun.
Right. It's usually April Fool's Day is when they start, but it's 14th now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on money, how we act, how we move, how it has different value in different places, even though it's very similar. But now it's moving, and now it's going to create even more, because now there's confusion I perceive. And then there's new things, similar to back then, where it was the new things, and people didn't understand, and then now things shift. What do you guys think about that? Share your experiences. You guys have an experience with the new situation with currencies and what's coming?
We talked before about I believe in investments. I just love to do it. When you talk currency, I think there's going to be a change in the next few years as far as getting into more digital currency and cryptocurrency.
Yeah, right.
I think that's inevitable.
Sure.
Yeah. How that goes into the blockchain.
Yeah. And the metaverse.
The metaverse is part of that. So I'd rather be a part of it now early. rather than wait in another 10 years and then everybody's in it at that point. Yeah. So I do think that's going to happen. Now, it is a little bit of I don't know what problem it fixes. Because right now, do you have any problem with how you need to spend money or how you access money?
Well, not right now. Yeah. Because I sense it as a self-fulfilling situation with regards to, it's not great. I don't have problems now. But now that this tool is here, people are using it, it's going to create problems. Essentially, like the Romans, you don't join them, you got to join.
Right, right, yeah. So,
you
want to
join them, you got to join them. I like that.
I think crypto is just the next investment area that, it's a lot of millennials are involved in that, and I think they're going to kind of shape.
And this is where we are at a disadvantage, and now we're trying to catch us up with regards to, but we should have more with regards to abilities, resources, experience, be able to keep up with regards to how this value shifts.
Right.
Because it affects everybody that's not aware.
And even our 150-year-old president, even he has come out and said that they're starting this legislation, they created this new bill he just pushed through. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, it's an executive order.
So what is it? Can you kind of tell
us? Yeah, sure. So President Biden, President Biden, so there's been this, so crypto really started with folks who just said, the heck with it, we're going to kind of get this thing going. It really wasn't a government push behind it. There was no, in an unofficial way, it was started by some guy supposedly named Satoshi.
Okay.
Satoshi.
He disappeared.
Well, nobody knows what happened. Right?
He's like Banksy.
Nobody knows. But anyway, so he kind of came up with the original Bitcoin idea.
Yeah.
So this wasn't government started. Government actually kind of pushed back on it for a very, very long time. So the answer to your question is, President Biden wrote this executive order, and for the most part, it was a bunch of words.
Yeah.
But the takeaway from that was that it was, hey, we're welcoming digital currency. Now, they want, safeguards, regulation.
Taxation.
Obviously.
Taxation is what they really want. The government wants the power.
What they didn't do is say it was going to be illegal. They couldn't say, hey, we're not going to welcome
them. No, you can't make it illegal. You just made almost the entire...
China and Russia did. They kicked all the miners out of China. So they were mining Bitcoin in China, and they said, hey, no, you need to stop.
That's USA, baby.
Can you explain to our people what mining is?
Bitcoin, like I said, is a digital currency.
Yes.
And it's on its blockchain. But to be able to secure the blockchain, you have to have what's called miners. So they use something called proof of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so these miners are basically trying to figure out an answer to a very complicated math problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the math problem is not something me or you or anybody, even I.
Man, nobody gave me these problems.
$1 million.
I mean, what's it going to be worth if I solve the problem?
So these folks sit at a computer and they're working out a problem all day.
Essentially, they're working out a problem, and then once they solve that problem, the reward for that problem is a bit of Bitcoin.
Okay.
So that's because Bitcoin, that's how folks get paid. That's how the miners get paid. So they all have these big elaborate, sometimes they use computers like we have at home.
Yep.
Sometimes they use really, really big computers to solve
a lot of that. They use big stations, so they all have them.
Like with the big servers.
But you can technically use a workstation at your house. You're not going to get a lot of money. But you can technically use.
If you use something like that, a small device, you would actually just really be offsetting a nice amount of inflation, at least for yourself. So you can.
Well, it depends on how much you do.
I mean, of course, yeah. It depends on how much you do, and it depends on how much inflation comes in. What I said was a small amount. It's not going to make you, but it can help you offset some of those balances, because currency values are going to be shifting, you know, now, as you guys see already. If the Bitcoin goes up and down, all the other coins kind of also do the same.
That was a bet for the Super Bowl, remember? About if Bitcoin would go up or down. Yeah. Everybody's getting involved now.
So now they have Bitcoin commercials in the Super Bowl, which I thought was very intriguing.
Well, even there's, I think, the stadium in Los Angeles, or one of them, is the Crypto.com stadium.
Yeah, I mean,
So
it used to be where the Lakers play.
Yeah.
Right.
It used to be the Forum, the Staples Center.
The Staples Center. That's the one that got changed.
And now it's Crypto.com.
Wow. So that's power.
Power.
Hey, how long have you been here? 30 years? Get that out of my stadium.
Yeah.
Crypto.com.
Yeah.
Was
it Tom Brady?
The power. Then you get the water.
Yeah. Tom Brady, I think, was a spokesman.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
Spokesman.
I mean, so. The premium advantage.
Yeah, premium advantage.
Nobody called me. Get the links.
You got to take
your
voicemail.
So, do you feel that because of this crypto revolution, I want to call
sure,
it,
yeah,
that stocks are not as valuable or not as sought out as before because of it?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
So I originally started in stock investing. So that was really where a lot of my time and energy went. I would say that crypto is still largely unregulated, so you really can't get. So if I put my money into a stock investment account, that's almost insured. It's something similar to FDIC, okay, that I told before, but it's not called FDIC. So if something were to disappear, I would get that money back. Crypto, if you bet on the wrong coin or somebody steals your money, peace.
Gone.
There's no 1-800 number. If you mess up and put a flip a bit and you send it to the wrong address or the wrong wallet, nobody to call. There's no help desk.
So that's the point of this law, this thing that Biden is trying to push through, so that there is some sort of.
They're trying to figure out how to do that. Yeah, like so that you know, for like folks like me, like if you're technically savvy, you can probably figure it out. And I've made some mistakes, right? I shouldn't have sent it to that address, right? But you know, for folks like my mom, you know, she wouldn't know what to do with crypto. So, you know, she buys Ford stock because that's something that she knows. She can call somebody if something happens.
Right.
Yeah, she can go onto a website. She can see it. Where crypto, she was like, I don't even want to get started with this.
But they are making them look similar, though. The platforms look very similar. With even the history now, they start to have history.
But it's still like, you got a wallet address. You got,
I
don't know how many character wide it is. Again, you can't call anybody.
Right.
There's nobody helping you to get, you know, to do a transaction.
Most companies these days, you can't call them either. It's really hard to get people on the phone sometimes.
Yeah,
it is mostly, the chat box.
Or they charge you, which is a lot of what my mom's running to. They charge her like $25.
And so that's even more of
really
expensive.
To call the number.
Wow.
Yeah, if you call the 1-800 number, they're like, hey, you got to pay.
Wow.
Well, I ran across something that Jon Stewart, one of my favorite comedians of all time, Red Team Go! Jon Stewart said, and I wanted to read this and see what y'all think about this. It's never been easier to invest in the stock market. You don't need to scream on the Wall Street trading floor or call a Harvard broker in a sweater vest. All you need is a smartphone and an app. But if we're all invited to share in the bounty in this incredible wealth generation machine, why is America's wealth gap getting worse? Once I looked behind the curtain, I realized our wanted stock market was more of a casino filled with side bets, third parties, and intentional capacity. That's what inspired our stock market episode, the one he was talking about. This set of articles shows how the stock market is perfectly designed for you to make other people wildly rich. What do you think about that? I found that so fascinating.
I find it that after I did my experience with the stock market, that I preferred to have my own risk internally, as opposed to give it to other folks and see hopefully that they do okay.
With what risk are you talking about as far as?
With regards to whenever you stock it, when you purchase stocks, you buy stock into a company, okay. Essentially you're buying into stock of how this company is going to perform. And so this company is going to perform depending on how the decisions get made and with regards to how everybody's interacting in this company, whether it's been successful, profit or loss, blah, 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 all that other good stuff. Be patient, it'll grow. It's like, oh, but, I don't know anybody in this company. I'm just giving them my money, and they kind of, I have no idea what they're doing with it. Nah. I trust me. I believe me.
Well, it's like that Wolf of Wall Street movie. Remember what he was doing? He was just making up these companies. Right? These guys are top guys. They're like in their garage.
Just wiping them out.
Yeah, right? Wiping all these things.
You don't know which one it is. And then,
that's why crypto is, it's almost like crypto's more tangible in a way than the stock market to me sometimes.
Well, it doesn't have the overhead cost.
There you go, right there. Yeah,
there's a humongous, hugely overhead. One is a desire of the person that whenever you buy or sell. So, right, how
that's the tricky, right? Buy or
that's
sell.
That's the trick.
It's buy when it's low, sell when it's high, right?
That's the typical.
You can't get rug pulled. I got rug pulled.
What is that?
Yeah. Oh, rug pulled.
Mindy rug pulled. Yeah. Come on, dog.
Mark Cuban got rug pulled.
Okay, tell me about this. What, you're hanging out with Mark Cuban?
Yeah. I was in this investment, so it was this crypto called Titan, right?
Oh, what?
Titan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the Juniper's Planet.
Yeah,
Titan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Titan, so yeah. It was, the crypto was offering, and anything can be too good to be true, right?
Sure. Always.
The APR was literally like 2,000%.
Gotcha.
Whoa. Literally like 2,000%.
Literally, and you know what? Nothing really much bothers me, but when you say literally, and it's not literally.
Literally.
Whoa!
APR.
Okay.
So of course I put some money in, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sitting there. Like,
yeah, yeah.
When it's 2,000%, you can literally see your account ticking up.
Yeah.
In real time. I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it got to a certain level, and then the people behind the screen, the curtain, all of a sudden started to sell. And unless you were like seeing it kind of ticking back down,
yeah,
you were back holding at the end. So that's called a rug pull. The people who were running the site decided to pull all the money out. And you were kind of left sitting there with your Titan token.
Ah, you thought you were gonna hit the party.
Pulled out from under you. And so one thing that made me feel even a little better was that Mark Cuban got rug pulled too.
In the same
investment. Yeah, he posted up on Twitter like, hey, he didn't say how much he lost, but I assume it's a lot if it's
sure. Did you go like, me too?
No, I thought about it.
Me too, Mark Cuban, me too.
So I think right now crypto is like high risk and high reward.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of folks think about that,
right.
Like, hey, because again, you know, once I lost the money, or you know, once I, you know, my tokens were worthless.
Yeah.
No, what I was going to do? Complain?
So your tokens went from like,
another number.
Yeah, right.
It's funny because in digital coins, it's like it goes from this.
Yeah, basically, like,
this.
Magically,
it went through. What is the process when it goes one from the other? The gold, the spinner.
I was literally like, alchemy process.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, developers who come up, because literally it takes, it's just computer code, right?
Yeah, sure.
You could start your own crypto
code. Oh, dude, let's do it.
There's nothing stopping you.
Oh, I mean, knowledge and experience. And
it's not that hard.
Oh, really?
It's not that hard.
So what's up? Let's get this done.
Let's do it right now.
So then it's
premium advantage coin.
If you get a budget to buy it and have the crypto.
Yeah, no, let's do it.
And then you can say, hey, I'm just going to sell everything.
No, I would never do that. Not with my gun. None of this got my name on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nobody.
Maybe any of yours are yours, but not mine.
But see, the thing about crypto is people, they're anonymous. The developers are anonymous.
Oh, the developers are anonymous? Yeah. Oh, well, in that
that's
case.
That's the key.
Well, in that case, I don't know.
Now you want to walk away.
And that's the difference. Being anonymous, I feel like that's what kind of took it off. Even in that, the most popular show on TV right now is Euphoria.
I've heard of it.
So Euphoria... I'm barely starting the second season. Don't get mad at me. I'm sorry. But,
how many seasons are there?
There's two.
Oh, it's power.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of the second. I'm not caught up yet. But the very first season, I think it was like the second episode. This girl, she's selling her nudes online and getting Bitcoin in return, but she has no idea what it is. So she goes and she asks the local smart kid who happens to be like 10. And he's like 10. And he's explaining it to her, and she's just like, so can I buy a pretty purse with it? And he's like, yes. She's like, okay, can I send you my Bitcoin and you'll give me money to go buy a purse with it? And he's like, yes. So, yes, exactly. And so that's where it's like,
I should buy her own purse. That's the process.
That's the fascinating part. And that's what, again, what we were talking about. People want things. What do you want? A pink purse. Okay, great.
Right? Like, easier ways than getting a pink purse at the house, like a picture. Great, the coin. Great, thank you. Evil 10-year-old. You want to pay? That's what I'm saying.
Guys, and I'm thinking, like, man, if they would have had the ability to watch porn at school, it would have been on all the time on their phone, right? I'm like, these kids nowadays, they have that next leap of stuff that we had no idea about, and it's right.
But then again, like, for example, like, at some point in time, magazines came up, right? And magazines, at some point in time, if I would have had a magazine when I was younger,
like a magazine, like clip. Oh, a magazine.
A girly magazine, like a Playboy or something along these lines, where it's like, oh, nothing but notes. That didn't happen before.
Or even the Victoria's Secret catalog was back in the day. I've heard.
Swimsuit issue.
What I'm saying is,
Tyra Banks on that cover.
Oh, my goodness. That was a swimsuit issue. That was the highlight of my year.
Yeah.
This is what I'm reading. It's the Ben Franklin. That's Victoria's Secret.
That's not Tyra Banks.
It's Zendaya. Zendaya from Euphoria.
She's in Euphoria.
Spider-Man's girlfriend in Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, cool. So, what happened? We're talking about the money.
And it affects
buy and sell investments. What type of investments? Now keep this in mind. Investments are all over. Not necessarily have to be crypto, not necessarily have to be stock. Buying something low and selling it high is an investment. Okay? What are the things for folks, now if you don't understand crypto or nothing, you're like, there's some other types of folks that like different types of investments. What would you guys think is a growing investment type trend in our environment? What do you guys think?
One thing I'm looking at is real estate.
Okay. Texas, baby.
Healthy market.
Well, not actually Texas. I'm thinking about California. I'm thinking about Airbnb. I want to think about Airbnb. Yeah.
Somewhere in particular in California that's gonna
Palm Springs, maybe. Gotcha. Somewhere where there's a nice vacation.
Gotcha.
Type of environment.
Okay. You like California? You've been to California also?
Yeah.
Oh, and you like this area?
That's really tricky. Because California, they're really strict on those things. There's certain neighborhoods that won't allow you. Yeah, they won't allow you to Airbnb.
You bring drones of value. I can understand why. You're renting a room by the hour.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, not by the hour. That's a different type of place.
Airbnb?
By the hour?
You're right. It's such a strange market with respect to where you can do it, how you can do it, and the way it is right now in California. I mean, it's to get anything done, it takes so much red tape, right? To even change that type of thing. I wish that California would kind of It's like Texas is too far right and California is too far left.
Yeah, you want somewhere
in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, do you want something in the middle? Yeah, somewhere in the middle is like income taxes, by the way. Like, with regards to state taxes.
No, that's a different story.
That's in the middle. That's somewhere in the middle.
Oh, that's on the right.
Right now, there's Texas doesn't have a state income tax. Or,
right.
You know, with
Florida doesn't have one.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you move into the middle, you're kind of talking about a little bit something like this. So Texas is, I don't know. I would say, yeah, but not in the middle. More like a little bit towards the right on that middle side.
Wish we could go a la carte and just take the things that we need based on which, you know, I like this from this state, I like that from that state.
But there's a lot of right state.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot. I mean, even trying to get Bill Maher, he's another comedian, he has a show on HBO. He has been for the whole years. No, since quarantine, I remember. Okay. He's been trying to put solar power on his house.
Oh, really? Yeah. In California.
Okay. And it's taken a year to get it done. He actually has a picture of him with all of the like government officials in his backyard.
Yeah, he's getting permits. Giving him the permits.
And it took so much permits, red tape, and legislation to
sounds
even
like
get
in California.
Exactly, and that's what he was saying. This is California.
We're just, a bad contract.
He's like, there's hippies in my neighborhood hugging trees right now, and I can't get solar power.
You got a bad contract.
Yeah,
bad architect, the wrong sort of panels.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right. So, money, power, investments, real estate.
What about you? What do you think about?
Thinking about doing a YouTube channel.
Subscribe.
This one or doing another one?
No. This is where all my money's at, guys. We need to make it work.
Everybody loves to laugh. Everybody loves magic, magicians, comedy, movies, music. And I feel that because of things like TikTok, that they're bringing back things. Like, for instance, right now, Lauryn Hill is trending big on TikTok. And all these kids are like, have you heard this song by this girl? It's really great. And we're like, Lauryn Hill? Yes. But it's something that I remember years ago. There was this radio show in Houston. It's called Walton and Johnson. Y'all remember that show back in the day?
Walton and Johnson.
Oh. It was just these two guys, and they were talking. It was a really entertaining show because one of the guys would do characters. He was like a gay guy. He was like a Latino guy. He was like a black guy. Like, he was just doing all these characters. And then the other guy would just be like, he called himself the white devil's advocate. So he'd always throw out these random things and then hear the different perspectives. So one day, they were really going hard on rap music, about how they hate it and about how it's dumb and all these things and how it's just, you know, blunts and cars and all these things, right?
What's wrong with blunts and cars?
Oh, blunts and cars.
Hey, sounds like a couple of haters.
Shout out to blunts and cars. So I called in. It's the first time I've ever called into a radio show in my life.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I got on.
Oh, okay.
And what I said to them, and it made them step back for a second. I quoted a lyric. I forgot which one it was. I think it was a Tribe Called Quest or something. It was just a good lyric with lots of metaphors and similes in it and symbolism. And I told them about that, and I said the lyric to them, and they said, wow, we've never heard that before. I said, yeah, you guys are listening to the wrong type of music. There's good hip hop music that uses jazz beats, that uses contemporary flows to mix. And then you got these guys who are like poets who are really putting things together. I've always said that about Tupac. I always thought that Biggie was like an MC and Tupac was a poet, right?
What I would say is that if somebody sung me a song, I would be okay with like giving somebody like a verse or something like this, where it's like,
a verse. Big purse.
Why would you sing a song? He gets a little big purse.
Exactly.
He's a little big purse that I got here. Why do you have to go all crazy?
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
So that's where I want to
invest. Music is value, right?
Yes.
Other things have value than money. We go back to the money. It's like, I just want to pay for it. It's like, well, you know what? You need something creative.
You need money to produce music.
I mean, no, you do not.
Not on TikTok anymore.
No.
That's the beauty.
Well, you need a phone to get
it.
Their
kids were millionaires right now on TikTok, and all they're doing is just remixing a Lauryn Hill song.
Right.
I'm like, what? Yeah. He's just dancing around to a Lauryn Hill song and making millions.
Do we have a radio? Do we have any?
Lauryn Hill radio.
Who else is popping in these days? Get up, guys! Start dancing. Start dancing now. We're not moving it up. We're not moving it up. Get the music up.
But seriously, though, that's where it's at, and that's where I want to invest. that's in entertainment.
Entertainment, gotcha.
So you want to do music production or you want to start?
Oh, music production is exciting.
I've actually written a few songs myself.
Oh.
And, I'm going to start putting them out there. Nice. I've learned how to TikTok.
Okay.
That's a verb now.
Yeah, everything is subjective, continually.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to.
All right,
going back to Euphoria, their top songs that they use in Euphoria are actual songs that they pulled from people off TikTok.
Mm.
They're just random people, songs that they love.
How does that work, though? These are original songs or are these still remix songs?
No, some of them are, but the majority of the Euphoria ones, because they just pay those TikTokers straight up.
So it's the TikTokers are getting, oh, it's their own song.
Their own song that they made and their own, yeah. But they're real short. It's like a 30-second thing, but they use just that and they just replay it. And Euphoria will use it in a really intense scene, and then people are like, oh, that song is awesome. Then they take that and then they make a TikTok off of that.
It seems like they have drug-fied music and they give you the most intense type of music at the most intense time.
I never heard the word drugified before until today.
Because it makes music and drug. Those two people put together and they pow.
No, that's what it is.
That's what they did with Cheetos flavor. It sounds like they're doing it with sound.
I mean, it's just vibrations at the end of the day, right? When you see a toddler dancing, they don't know what music is. They just feel the vibration, right? And we're what, 80%, 85% water?
Yeah.
It's just vibrations through your liquid of your body that makes you want to move.
Yeah.
What changes is your perspective of what you like and the types and the genres.
And it has to do as you grow up, I guess.
Right.
As you get older, your culture and what everybody's listening to around you.
Absolutely. I used to work with this gentleman. He was about 85 years old, personal training, and he would lose his mind every time the song Bomba would come on. Remember that song? Bomba.
Yeah, that's an old song.
Bomba. And he would just lose it. Oh, I love this song. And I'm like, but it was something about it, the rhythm, the type, and he loved it, right? And it's something about music that motivates all of us.
Yeah.
One artist I am afraid to claim in public.
Nobody's watching.
I really like some Taylor Swift. It's not the person that would be like, hey, yeah, I'm a big Taylor Swift. I got a shirt on.
She hits the right notes and the communication and she's the one that got kicked off by that Kanye question. I like her more now.
That's skyrocketing her career.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess I like him a little bit less more than this because of that, but still.
Taylor Swift,
this guy brings.
Again, going back to power. That dude is so powerful. He has so
But it's music power, right?
Yes.
He got the music. Yes.
And then he got the quote-unquote hottest girl in Hollywood also.
Then it goes too much. Then you get too much. That's what happens when you got too much.
I don't know about the hottest girl.
That's why I said quote-unquote, because I don't agree with that.
Sure.
She bought that body.
That was a weird one right there. Yeah. That was a weird one. I mean, I don't know if y'all want to go there, but it was more like
when you have
a public video of your wife, like, I just don't know if it'd be hard for me.
It's an artist.
It'd be hard
for me.
Everybody's different, right? Yeah. I mean, shout out to Tito Ortiz. You know Tito Ortiz? He married?
Yeah, I've heard.
He married a porn star,
right?
And he's a fighter, right? So you know his friends, and they're going to say something or want to say something, but then again, it's Tito Ortiz,
right.
So you'll catch this. But then it's Tito Ortiz, so he's old.
I would say in his personality, he's like, you know what? I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And if somebody, let the one person say something to me.
Right.
Woo! I'm going to keep myself in shape, too. Keep myself in shape. Hey, you keep yourself in shape, too, woman.
Love is love. You love somebody, it doesn't matter what they do, right? And that's a whole different story altogether, right?
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I
agree with you on that.
Yeah.
If you love them, you can probably overcome it. And if you don't care, you got enough money. Now, both those situations, those people had enough money.
Boom.
Well, they didn't have to care what somebody else thinks.
Boom.
Kanye didn't have to care what anybody else
thinks. Exactly.
And Tito, I'm assuming, was at least good enough financially.
Oh,
he didn't have to worry about where somebody else thinks. So, you know, I could not. One, my mom would probably flip me. I could not marry a porn star.
Yeah,
I
mean,
she wouldn't know.
I was gonna say, how would she know?
She would find out.
Family would be like text messages flying across.
Oh yeah,
screenshots.
Those videos.
Look at
that
thing.
Yeah, look at
that thing. You never seen her act.
And if my mom would see it, she might pass out. I don't know.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about
porn stars
and money and power,
chicken.
And how they shit on the reality of like a chicken was like, oh, right back in the day, I got my chicken, I got a horse.
I got barbecue sauce.
Get that chicken out of here. Give me another coin. And now we're all flipping around, got music, got this. Now we're like, war is coming, right? War, or is it happening, or is it shifting, or is it not so much? So there's dilution, or there's inflation. And so all of these things can make money go up and down, and they make people go through like more mathematical equations
right.
than typically would have to normally.
Right.
And you lose a tremendous amount of incalculable value. Well, you don't know what you're adding and subtracting, or dividing and multiplying. Whether is it up or down, or which one is up, whether I know, whether I win. So, as these things come up, we are all learning.
Yeah.
We're all engaging more. I need more. I know more now on this 11th episode than I did on the first episode.
Absolutely.
A lot more. I feel empowered. If you've been watching, you should have been getting some information
Absolutely.
That is valuable. You should be clicking on the links, subscribing, getting to know a little bit more of your environment, the entirety of your environment.
Sure, our last show was the day the war started, remember?
Yes, that's correct. That same day.
That exact
right,
day.
Yes.
So it's been literally 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks.
Wow, so much has happened in 2 weeks.
And you know what? Money had to, the, with regards to the shift.
Oh my God.
Gas prices are going up.
Oh,
we said at 4 or 5, right? When it gets to 5 or something like this, it's like, hey, whoa, 5. So where are we at with gas?
Are we at 5?
I don't know. We're at 4. I saw 4.
4.
California, I think, is 6.
Yes.
I heard.
7 in San Francisco.
7 is, oh, if I was in San Francisco, I would be like, no, 4. I'm from Texas, so I mean, I'm still at 4. I don't put gas on it that much.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about that? Do we want, I mean, is this good for us? Is this bad for us?
It's just fascinating to me. And I asked my mom because I wanted to find out just some history, some perspective. I asked her, I said, do you remember the last time we had a recession in the Reagan years in the 80s? I mean, I was too little to remember. And she said, absolutely. I said, so how do you feel that versus now? She said, back then the gas was so, the prices were super high and there wasn't any. She said they would go gas station to gas station and they'd be out. And they'd be blocked, cars would just down the street and out, and the gas prices were high. So I find it fascinating how we still, even though the gas prices are super high, we still have enough, right? It's a different perspective. Then she said in 2008, when the housing market crashed, a similar thing happened. The price of oil jumped and all of these things, but it was out of a scare.
Yeah.
Right. It was more about the scare than the actual oil, because we have a lot of oil reserves, but we want to hold on to it, is what I've been told, that we're going to use the rest of the world's oil first before we tap into our Texas funds. So it's just a different dynamic now with technology and what we have the ability to see and not see every day.
Is there something that you recall that people would have arguments or situations about that were brought on by, you know, supply and demand issues?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we have arguments. It's weird, our perception, right? Because we've been having inflation for like the last 3 or 4 months. This hasn't been just because of the war, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you go to a grocery store, and grocery stores love to do this, right? You buy one. I used to buy like a little salad that would come in this little container.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was probably about $3 or $4,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Worth it.
Yeah. To me, it was all right. Worth. I was getting a little bit of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so instead of changing the price,
they changed the
container.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So the container was like this, and then I go in one day and it's like this, and it's the same price. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm getting less. That's inflation. That's your purchasing power is reduced.
Right. Beautiful.
So
this
even
same
though
20,
that same 20 doesn't buy me as much,
and it's still and it shifts with this one, and then now this one, purchasing power. We're losing purchasing power.
Exactly.
Power. Same money.
Goes back to power.
Less power.
Yep, every day. So, but we were going through that before the war.
Yeah.
The reason
people
talk about gas is because when you drive and you see the gas
everywhere,
right?
Right?
You see it like 3 or 4 times. You go by gas station 3 or 4 times. You don't see the price of milk like all the time,
right? I'm lactose anyway.
I think
anyway.
That's the perception.
Yeah.
And so when we, people are like, hey, you fill up. I had 2 people at work saying, hey, did you fill up? I'm why are you worried about my gas?
Again, the scare.
Yeah,
right?
I don't personally get it. Yeah. I'm like, you know, we are still fortunate. Like, all the people I work with aren't necessarily like hurting for money, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they're having to pay another $10-$15 for gas to fill up.
Oh man,
20. Let's say 20.
What kind of people?
Let's say 20. I mean, they're not hurting, but it's just something I think that, like you said, it kind of feeds on itself.
Yeah, especially if you're in particular markets that it.
Yeah.
Directly back.
Texas is
like,
better. Texas is better than California.
Oh, yeah.
My brother lives, like you mentioned, my brother lives in California.
Oh, yeah, what's he talking about?
And he's $6-$7.
Yeah.
He sent me a text like, hey,
is
$6-$7. Yeah, he's like $6-$7 for gas now. I'm like, you know, All right. I mean, it's going up, but it's not like, if call me when it's 10. If it's $10, then I'm like,
In Texas. Yeah, California, if it's 10, hey, man, you got to
do that. Y'all can do that.
Then I'm going to start walking. When it's 10, I'm going to get my bike out, and I'm going to literally bike to Cleveland.
Get my exercise in.
Ride your horse.
Or you ride your horse. Ride your chicken.
Ride your chicken. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
And all these shifts, what they create is situations where sometimes folks, my understanding is it creates the wealth, but it also creates the impoverishment. People go straight from having normal income or normal life to like nothing, zero, using worth less than that plastic.
Right.
Now you're actually costing money. The money that you have, actually you owe me money.
You were saying before, like, why is there such a big wealth divide?
Yes.
And my two cents.
Yes, sure.
Not having looked a lot of it, into it, but still, it's like, I think it's education.
Oh, education. I love it.
You know, I can't remember the exact stat, but how many Americans are like one paycheck away from like being broke or homeless or something?
Is it a lot?
It's I don't think it's over 50%, but it's pretty high. It's like 30, 40, something like that in that range.
Yeah.
Where if they don't get paid, the house with no didn't get taken care of, they got a car gets repossessed.
Wow.
They don't have any savings.
So I'm sure.
So I think a lot of it's just, I mean, what we don't do a lot of in schools is monetary education.
That's right.
Financial education. We teach gym, biology, chemistry.
Not take care of your money. This is your resource. If you're gonna make it rain, you should actually make it in a way where it's continuously raining. not like when we started the show.
Well, what you do is you have this gun where you load a bunch of cash in it and I've heard.
If you're gonna make it rain, right?
That's right.
And I want to sprinkle.
No.
But that's what happens is we get excited. We get
and so
as you go through that freedom release and you turn 18 and somebody you can sign contracts now. Sign this embedded contract and have a credit card, which is money, which is power. It's money. It's power. Now you're in the negative. You're not boom. You're already in the negative. You start wrong. And so my perception is that our market is actually designed to do that to us.
No, it is. You're right.
It's like, they're worth money. They got this dollar. They're worth 10 times more than this one. Attach it.
No, but going back to the way it affects people in a humanitarian crisis situation is
because it lowers the value of everything.
Right. But also, people who don't make as much have to start weighing out their options.
Well, they're on the edge.
Do I buy this medication that that's a whole other story about the pharmaceutical companies and how they're astronomically raising these prices on diabetes medication, cancer medication.
Well, now it's worse because they're attaching it to insurance because it's everybody got insurance, which is cool, but it's now it's okay for them to keep you sick for longer because it continues to grow the wealth.
Seniors feel it the worst because their income is much lower. They're getting Social Security, but their cost of their drugs keeps going up
because they cannot make themselves better and healthier. They're not getting younger,
right.
And that's really frustrates me. We could really solve this immortality situation with the right amount of money, and people don't want to do it. I can do it, but you're paying enough. I can do it, but you're not paying me.
Yeah, that's true.
We're smart enough to do it.
I think they do. Like you said, I think they do it on purpose.
I think
the pharmaceutical creates drugs to keep people hooked for like years.
For life, for 20 years.
They don't want to cure for cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if somebody came up, but your point, your point's valid. They need money, and the part of you have money. If I can get you to take a pill for 20 years,
it is what it is. It is what it is, and it's part of the market. It's part of the money. It's part of the whole equation that we're discussing with regards to the balance. Funds, what's your worth? What's your value? Who is worth what? How much power can you get?
Well, and they can keep increasing it because they know that the people need it.
Especially if that's even it's attached to insurance.
There was a U.S., I think she's a senator, I think it's Katie Porter, I think her name is. Please forgive me if I can say that name wrong, but she's really smart, and she pulled some pharmaceutical CEOs into her. Into the chamber, and they did this live. This is a really great shot. And she says she has a dry erase board, like kind of like this beautiful thing we have right here. And she says, you know, this particular drug cost this much in 2002. Now in 2008, it cost this much more. And today, it cost 10, 20 times that original amount. Now, Mr. Pharmaceutical Guy, let me ask you this question. Did this drug get better? Did this drug improve? Did this drug change? He's like, oh, no, not at all. Nothing. So you're saying nothing changed, nothing progressed, but you're increasing the price of this. And also your the amount of money that you made also has increased along these lines. So wouldn't you say that the reason why you've increased this is because you want to increase your own value? Oh, and he was just, I mean, he was stuck, and it was so good. It was, but that's exactly their mentality, right? They're trying to get these people hooked so they can keep their pockets fat and stay on the golf courses.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So money's attached to everything that we do because of the resources that it brings. Right. It saves time, saves money. It saves time. It brings you resources. It allows for things to happen that typically wouldn't be able to happen unless you could write a song,
right,
or play something or have something, or somebody will give you something in exchange for whatever it is that you were offering. Money is the accelerator with regards to things happening a little quicker.
B, can you hit that snooze button? It's going to make an alarm. That's on the top. That's fine.
Things are happening all over the place. Houston, what are you guys noticing with regards to Houston and situation in Houston? Are they getting well with regards to the financial situation? Is Houston stable? I mean, I think it's relatively stable. That's why it's growing.
I guess it depends on what part of Houston we're talking about.
That's true.
Right?
It's pockets, little pockets of situations. That's right. In the area here, we're in Midtown, and there's pockets here. You would say the city and the state is wealthy, but there's pockets of terrible
situations. It's a strange situation, too. Going back to crypto, is like, I think, was it El Salvador?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
El Salvador has completely taken over Bitcoin. They're using that.
Oh, is that right?
Bitcoin city.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
They're trying to.
Yeah. But see, then that's the problem. When you talk to...
Oh, man, if El Salvador just take over because they got the crypto first. Oh!
Shut up. MS-13, much respect. But
that'd be insane.
The problem they're having is people on the street. How are they going to... They can't quantify this information.
Education. It goes back to education.
Boom, education. I mean, it's just a strange situation in places like that because they don't understand. Like my friends down in South Park right now, they don't care about crypto. They're just worried about their next dollar. They're worried about their paycheck. No, I need to work a 9-to-5 or I need to do this. So
that 9-to-5 is the mentality that you're mentioning that we have been brought up.
Right.
It's that the days are not 9-to-5. This is my perception that these are like manufacturing hours.
Yeah.
That have been kind of brought along in time and kind of got stuck.
Yeah.
Now there's folks that squeeze the hours. There's folks that respect all that. There's no one way with regards to how you make your funds, how you make your money. Now there is a way for somebody to actually be able to increase their purchasing power by a little bit by looking at the links below and checking out. So prices, prices.
What?
There's a valuable price. Yes, there's a registration link for prices. In almost all of our episodes, there's prices. Is that not correct?
Oh, I know that.
We offer avocados to everybody. Yes or no?
And a chicken.
If we get to 1,000 subscribers in 3 months, everybody gets an avocado.
Every
subscriber gets
an avocado. Y'all hear that?
I put a 3-month mark on it because of inflation. Believe it or not, I put a 3-month mark on it. I don't know how much these avocados are going to cost. And we also a food list. One of my professional, what would you call Juliana from Feisty Fitness?
Oh, she's a dietitian.
From a professional dietitian. That list is ready. You go, you register, you get your list. It's beautiful. And then we also have for our 100th subscriber in our Money Shot episode, what we have directly from Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
I want to say you get that book.
Oh,
bam! $100.
So the 100th subscriber is going to get $100.
Register yourself and say, hey, I was a 100th subscriber. We'll send you we'll send you this cash.
that actual one. I'm going to write my name on it.
Yeah, sure. If you want to come pick it up, let me know. Yeah, send your email. We'll coordinate the situation.
100 subscribers. Register below, and you can win that if you're the 100th subscriber. Bonus points.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to something that you mentioned earlier, which was Women's Week. Tomorrow is the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce International Women's Day or Women's Conference of the Year. Annual Women's Conference, yes.
Okay.
It's going to be over at the International. It's going to be a super great event. I think I'll try to make it. I have an invitation. It's just early in the morning, and I've got to do a couple of things first, but I'll head over there. What do you think? Are you interested in going? Are you checking it out?
Yeah, I would like to go. Okay. Anything involving women, willing to go.
But seriously,
it's a professional event. I'm excited to go.
We're going to get some footage. Go get some footage. Introduce ourselves to the women's conference and see how it goes. So it's about introducing, getting the resources from other folks so that we can get our resources in order.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
That's tomorrow. What else is happening in Houston? Or in this time frame? It's spring time. Rodeo. Rodeo. Who's playing?
Tomorrow night, Friday night,
yeah.
Bun B from the UGK Underground Kings. Bun B.
So it's Black Heritage Night?
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is this?
At the rodeo.
Oh.
Bun B. MC. Okay. UGK. No.
All right. Every year is a Black Heritage Night.
Oh, okay.
There's a gold Tejano night.
Well, I think they changed that now. It's not because there's no more Tejano music. Okay. It died with Selena. But it's just Latino night, and they'll have like those Tigres del Norte or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll have like
the Tigres del Norte are like, no, puro Tejano. No, you're Latino.
No, Latino night. Yeah, so every night is a different one. But tomorrow night, Friday night is Bun B, which is going to be, I know a lot of people going to that concert. It's going to be really good. I think he's going to have some, I think he's going to do a big shout out to like some Houston rappers. He's going to have like Lil Kiki there.
Okay.
Like all kinds of people are going to be there. It's going to be a big
show. Exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Okay.
You know he teaches at Rice?
No.
Teaches what?
Really?
Bun B, yeah.
What does he teach?
Yeah.
I think it's a hip-hop class. I'm not entirely sure, but I know he teaches at Rice. He teaches a class at Rice.
Shout out to Bun B.
Yeah, he does.
Professor Bumpy, or is it just that? I mean, sometimes that happens. They get a PhD. You know what you're doing with your professor art, you can skip school, and they're like, honorary PhD. What? Made it already.
That's a good class, Dr. Bumpy. Dr. B.
Dr. B.
Yeah.
I met Bumpy one time. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and he was really nice, except when my girlfriend went to go take a picture with him, because we asked him, she tried to do this, and he said, hey, my wife is right there, don't even get close. Yeah, and then he kind of like motioned and ran off. Yeah. We're like, whoa, what just happened? Yeah, that's my Bumpy story.
We don't know. For sure.
And next week is the color of money, green. It's green week. Next week we got St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Who celebrates that? It's going to be Thursday, too.
Yeah, got to wear green, right?
You don't wear green, you're going to get bitched.
Hey, I'm Mexican. Can I celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Celebrate whatever you want to celebrate. It's Houston, it's Texas. Everybody celebrates everything here.
This is true.
Right?
This is true.
I think Houston's just, Houstonians use it as an opportunity to drink.
Oh,
yeah. You think?
Houstonians drinking?
Yeah.
In
public? Yeah. What? Wow.
So it's going to be Thursday. It's going to be spring break time. A lot of activity going on. We'll see what kind of footage we can, content we can have for our next episode, which is going to be beautiful because it connects all of these situations that we're discussing. And we're going to be discussing the future of education.
Oh, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, awesome.
The future of education. How is all of these situations with regards to money, resources, technology is going to affect the future with regards to education? What has education been? Where are we at now? What are the challenges? And then where are we going?
Right.
Where are we going? So we have a professional educator here.
Let me know if y'all saw all the answers.
Oh,
yes.
Give me the one paper. Give me a calculator.
No, just give me the answer.
I'm all used to the answer. They're going to be on the episode. They're going to be
subscribe
on the episode.
So I gotta wait to the end.
No, they're gonna be all throughout. We're gonna pepper it. Right in the middle of the day.
Fast forward.
I'll let you know. All the answers to education.
Great.
Bam, they're gonna be in there.
Okay, sorry.
That's next week's episode. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to throw into the topics mix before we wrap it up for today's episode?
That's about it. I think we've covered it all.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Subscribe.